We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there for home loan solutions that fit your life. Rocket can. Maggie and Perloff hanging out with you on this Thursday. It is the last possible day that NFL teams can hold their mandatory mini camps, Perloff. And so we now get to reflect a little bit on the offseason and what we witnessed from the end of the Super Bowl till right now. This has been one of the most dramatic off seasons for the NFL. If you want to talk about new faces and new places, you want to talk about players who are disgruntled, asking for trades, scrubbing their social, demanding new contracts. Everything that could happen in this offseason of the NFL has happened. The question is, while it leads to a lot of clicks and it's good for you and me and it's great to talk about and chat about and take calls about, ultimately, is it good for the NFL? Because the NBA is a 365-day-a-year league, and we talk about the drama and whether players get along and who's disgruntled and who wants to move to a new team. And the ratings are down and the attendance is down. There's more podcasts about the NBA than ever. There's more radio shows about the NBA. All that industry around the league is great. It's thriving. It does nothing for the sport itself. It does nothing for the NBA, I'm saying, because less people are watching and less people are going to games. And while today you can look at the NFL and say it is healthy, it is robust, there is nothing that will bring this league down, I'm not talking about today or tomorrow, but at some point, does all of this drama end up doing to the NFL what it did to the NBA?
I have a question. Are we in some sort of weird time machine to 2006 when this same argument was brought up, or 2010? Or,
no, the way, off seasons have gotten much different in the NFL. You have to grant that.
2011, I'm sorry, there was a lockout because of the CBA, and it was dreary news after dreary news.
Right.
Fans could care less. They just wanted football week one. There were people in the NFL were fighting left and right. I remember the Deflategate summer was probably the most dramatic NFL summer. They spent a summer, the whole world, arguing about the pay. I mean, there's been so many weird summers. There was the Michael Vick dogfighting summer. There was the Big Ben summer. Every summer has something. This summer actually there's been a lot of player movement, but has it really been more dramatic than all the other weird summers? Remember the summer where we followed Peyton Manning's flights around when he went to Denver? Remember when Brett Favre unretired? This is the NFL. They've always done this, and ratings have remained high.
Okay, first off, the lockout was boring. Nobody cared about that. I mean, we do because it's our job to kind of know about the inner workings of the sport, but fans don't care about the lockout. They just want to make sure that football is on the table. So that, take that away, because that was an insidery story. You're talking about one specific story from these off seasons that stand out. I present to you the off season of 2022, where you had all of these stories in one off season. We've had the, you know, kind of stories that make you feel bad about yourself, like Deshaun Watson, the stories where you feel like, oh, you know, we got to cover this. It's so awful about.
That was last offseason too, though.
So it's continued. Okay. Now he gets signed to a record deal. What does that say about the sport? What does that say about all of us who love the sport and watch the sport and support it? You know, you have that to the very, very serious. You also have very serious things going on in Washington, D.C., Daniel Snyder. Roger Goodell is going to appear in front of Congress again next week. Daniel Snyder says he's not. So we have very serious stories.
None of those will affect anybody's remote control behavior in the fall at all.
Okay, well, we can talk about that, but that's just one part of the pie here. We also have the most famous quarterback to play in the sport who retired unretired, and we're not sure if he was trying to get himself out of Tampa so that he could maybe be a part owner of the Miami Dolphins and then somehow come back and play for the Miami Dolphins with a hand-picked coach who the team was going to have to trade a draft pick for, most likely. Then also, that plan may or may not have gotten kiboshed because another coach has brought a lawsuit against the NFL for unfair labor practices, hiring and firing practices. Like, that's all just another thing that happened. Then you get into the players who are demanding new contracts. Then you get into the players who are demanding trades. And then you get into all of this craziness. Like, you're talking about off seasons where you had one or two things. This off season's had it all.
Honestly, this is such business as usual. Like a quarterback retiring, I'm retiring. We've obviously seen that.
Not with someone of Brady's.
Well, I mean, Favre was arguably the third greatest quarterback when he retired. There's been a lot of drama about quarterback. Okay, maybe Brady is unique, but get ready. That's going to happen next summer again.
He's going to rock back and forth.
But
Brady's yacht.
Last summer, the Aaron Rodgers thing was a big deal. Schefter came out on draft day, said Aaron Rodgers, the best quarterback in the game, will not show up for Packers offseason. We made a big deal. It didn't turn off a single fan. Last year's ratings were spectacular.
Okay. You're looking at it in one small lens, right?
Right,
of this season.
I'm
talking about build and build and build. Like, say, it kind of build, right? You mentioned last offseason, a lot of drama. This offseason, even more. And it comes from all these different areas. Like, if you have 5 years of that, like the NBA, would you agree with me that it has hurt the NBA?
I don't think that. No, I don't think all that drama has hurt the NBA. I just don't think it's as popular a sport for many reasons. I think it's sort of, when LeBron retires, it's going to lack the star power. I just don't think the NBA speaks to a lot of the national audience.
Why did it 10 years ago when the ratings were higher?
They were higher, but they weren't spectacular. I think, every sport suffered by cord cutting, right? So every sport's ratings go down. The NFL is just...
Although the NBA did a good job, though, in the digital age, I would say. They are the ones who are the social media. They're the league that's the social media star.
Right, but everybody's ratings, TV ratings, fell, except for one sport. The NFL, I think last year they had their best season since 2015. So they've been able, because the popularity has grown so much, and I think the popularity has grown because they've dominated the news cycle all year. I think these are always talking about NFL. There isn't a story you name that hasn't made me want to tune in to see these players, except for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
That's it. Let's put that in a separate bucket.
Yeah.
But I'm dying to see Tom Brady play week one. And that Miami story, that makes it even more intriguing. All of this, yes, it makes me want to tune in. The soap opera effect, I think, works to help the sport. And NBA, I don't know. I can't explain why it hasn't worked, but for the NFL, it's great.
Well, because I would say even attendance is down in the NBA. Meanwhile, you might get a little turned off by the amount of three-pointers, but nobody is saying that the NBA now isn't a better product than it was in the 90s and the early 2000s. Just the basketball itself is so much better now to watch. Yeah, it's a lot of threes, but it's better than the 88-84 games we had between the Knicks and the Pistons so the 90s, back in that day.
The 90s were terrible because of the Knicks. But, the problem with the NBA is you kind of need a Jordan. You need a dynasty, right? You need LeBron to be at the top of his game consistently. I bet you, if LeBron was in the finals, they wouldn't have to worry about these ratings. But that's particular. The NBA is dependent on superstars. The NFL has this business where all 32 teams are national teams. It doesn't matter who's playing. The teams and the league themselves generate so much interest. They're not dependent on anything. Tom Brady goes away tomorrow. I don't think the ratings take a big hit. What does that say? The league has created this product. I don't know how they did it exactly. That is so interesting. Gambling and fantasy help.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, I pointed out all of those offseason stories and didn't even get to Calvin Ridley was suspended for a year.
Yeah.
And you can say whether or not you think it was worth it or not, but you did have a player who was suspended for having a 5 or 18 parlay, whatever it was, for $1,500. That was just another thing that happened this offseason.
By all the player movement, too, that definitely helps ratings, right? Because you want to see Tyreek Hill in Miami. You want to see Russell Wilson in Denver.
To your point, you were just saying you want dynasties.
You want dynasty? Yeah. In basketball. I didn't say in NFL. NFL, the parity has been working. Think about Russell Wilson. You added, he was going nowhere in Seattle. He goes to Denver, boom, 5 primetime games. The NFL's let's get that on TV.
Yeah.
I think all this is good. It's good. I can't answer this question. Do you have an answer to why the NBA is suffering? Because it doesn't make sense. If the interest is there, it should translate to ratings, but it's not.
Well, I think maybe a couple things for the NBA. I'm not sure, but if I were just to throw out a couple theories. One is we don't really get to know a lot of these guys in college yet.
There's something off there. I totally agree.
Because I'm thinking about the NBA draft, and like, you know, some of these guys have actually been around for a while, but you know, we only see them for a very short amount of time. And if you either don't make the tournament or you have a very, you know, quick exit from the tournament, it's even less.
Right, so you'll see a team like the Thunder or the Magic, and you will not know those players.
I don't know a lot of these guys, but if they were in college a little bit longer.
We have had guys go into the sport earlier, but generally
you have to be for 3 years, right?
You build a loyalty to these teams, right. And you build a, you know, we're curious to see what Bryce Young is going to be like at pro. That's a very important thing.
That part of it, I mean, maybe people are turned off by the threes. I think people are turned off by, like, what James Harden has done. I mean, I don't know if it's in nationwide people are like turning their back on James Harden, but like the idea that you would literally quit on your team on the court, where like we talk about organizational tanking, and I think we all kind of expect that, or we think it's smart to a certain extent, or we get it. You come from Philadelphia, the process,
sure.
But like an actual player like not trying because they're trying to, and I'm not just saying it's just Harden, but he's an obvious example, like literally not trying.
Right.
Like, that is hard to swallow. The load management, I think, doesn't help.
Load management dovetails with that.
Yep.
None of that ever happens in the NFL. The NFL has this intensity because of the short schedule that, like, you never get that feeling with the NFL. So, let's look at college football. They have a new offseason. We've had several guests for college football say, all of a sudden I'm covering the sport in a month where I would never cover the sport.
Right.
Nothing happened in college football.
Because of NIL and the transfer portal.
More because of NIL, too. Because, like, that, there was nothing that was going on between March and June.
Right.
Now, all of a sudden, we have Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban fighting. Is there any doubt that's going to help ratings?
For that game.
And
for when Alabama plays Texas A&M.
Yeah.
It will. I don't know if it helps the sport as a whole.
But every year we're going to have that. There's going to be some NIL war, recruiting war. It's just like the more attention, it's going to lift all boats. I think college football is going to dominate the next decade.
Well, I would say the transfer portal, I think, helps. Because if you can transfer and play right away as opposed to having to sit for a year, I think that, like, how are you not going to watch USC this year with all the transfers they've gotten, you know, and it just creates some new kind of buzz. So I'd say, yeah, the player movement. Listen, again, I would think this helps us. It definitely helps everyone out there who chit-chats about this and, you know, bar conversations and text threads with your friends and all that.
Which helps the sport.
But it didn't for the NBA. And maybe there's a lot of reasons, but it didn't because we have tangible proof that it did not. Samter, you look like you want to say something.
I just wonder whether, I mean, I know the numbers show that viewership is down and fewer fans are going to the games, but I feel like there's probably more eyeballs on the NBA during the season than ever before. So, like, I understand that maybe the metrics on, like, TV viewership or certain things might be down, but I really feel like...
Oh, like, everyone sees a jaw dunk.
I mean, like, whether it's streaming or whether it's social media, and, like, at the end of the day, I know that they make money off of these broadcast deals, but there's so many ways to make money now off of broadcasts that doesn't involve a person sitting down and watching a game and sitting through commercials.
Yeah, but think about it.
I think there's more people watching the NBA than ever before.
But think about it, though. Yes, there's all different revenue streams, and we know that. But think about these TV deals. They're insane. $10 billion, billions and billions. Like, that's the leagues are making a ton of their money off of the network deals.
But back to football for a second. Aaron Rodgers literally said, I'm under contract. I don't want to come back to this team.
Yeah.
This is the Green Bay Packers, the most beloved team franchise in history. And the biggest star in the sport said, I don't want to come back here. The ratings were all through the roof for the Packers all season. So how?
Because he came back.
But like, how is that hurting the sport? Yeah, it's just drama. It's just fluff.
Yeah, but
there isn't a same. Name one story other than Deshaun Watson that's really good that could possibly hurt the league.
I think Daniel Snyder hurts the league. You and I disagree about that.
Daniel Snyder, he fought to keep the team the Redskins for 20 years.
I know. It's deplorable.
And during that whole thing, the NFL ratings have increased steadily.
I know, but it's one thing about fighting for a mascot, which I'm not trying to do the comparative thing there, but there also is something about the employees who are in your building who are feeling threatened, who are feeling like they were, you know, brought a million different things, objectified, all of that stuff. It's all bad. I think that the team owner, I mean, we didn't even get to Gruden this year with the emails. Like, who knows what's going to come of that. This is stuff that does not reflect kindly on the league. It might not be so shocking to people that John Gruden might have sent an email that had homophobic things in it, but that does not reflect well on the league at all. Does it turn off a viewer? I'm not sure, but that's not an all publicity is good publicity thing for the NFL.
But I feel like this
makes them look like cavemen.
I mean, Snyder's had terrible publicity for a long, long time.
And the value of his franchise, yeah. I don't know. Like, I can't tell you the value of the Commanders has fallen, because I bet if they were going to be sold today, it'd probably be for like $5 billion or whatever the Broncos just went for, and a little bit more. But I can tell you that attendance is down there. Right. I mean, he has felt that hit. Clearly, one guy who worked in the accounting department for 20 years said they had to basically cook their books. I mean, two sets of books. So obviously, like, it's not all amazing there, and I know that the attendance has gone down, because there used to be like a 20-year wait list for those tickets, and you could get them tomorrow.
But we're talking about the overall health and popularity of the sport. I mean, I guess we disagree. Like, I just think that it's going to have next to no impact over the course of 50 years.
Like, well, drip, 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 and then the bucket becomes full. Like, maybe you don't see it all in one off season, and maybe you don't see it all one time.
This is a sport,
but year over year over year over year, do people eventually get sick of this, and does it eventually turn people off?
This is a sport that has survived. If it could survive concussions, I mean, honestly, these players are literally killing themselves out on the field, and we're seeing people get ALS and awful things.
Yeah, awful.
And that's been going on been reported since 2003, 2004, 2005. And while the reporting has been its steadiest, the league shot up in popularity like never before. It was the exact... So I don't think one team behaving badly can impact the sport as a whole.
Yeah, but it's not just one. Like, I'm just saying it's the soup of everything that happens in the offseason. We've had a little bit of everything this year.
It's definitely better than... The league is definitely in better shape than it was, ethically, than 2005. Those were the caveman days. Like,
well, I mean, if you want to talk about concussions... Without a doubt.
I mean, concussions, the...
Workplace environment.
Yeah. Like, they're leap years ahead of where they were. I mean, we know stories about what used to happen in the NFL.
I know, but obviously still a lot more work to do. Right. But yes.
None of that affected popularity. Maybe actually correcting some of that stuff is helping the popularity, to be honest. Like, the league is just... It's so Teflon. Yeah, I mean, you know, we've said it before.
I know, we've said that about a lot of sports.
I mean, if I could take...
100 years ago, horse racing and boxing was Teflon.
If I could take a 10-year bet on who's going to grow more over the next decade, football or basketball...
It's definitely soccer.
Well, it's definitely soccer.
Or maybe it's Formula One. Got Amanda, our intern, does Formula E, right?
I'll bet you football is 10 times more valuable than soccer in America in 10 years.
I'll take that bet.
Oh.
And we've already been friends for 10 years, so we know we're going to be friends for another 10, so we know that we could pay this off.
I've believed
2033.
I used to whoop your SI brethren on this topic, because Richard Dice was calling for the end of the league in 2011.
I'm not calling for the end of the league. I'm definitely not. Yeah. I'm not being so narrow-minded that I don't think that there could be a change in the winds. No, right now, NFL is number one. We're going to continue to talk NFL, in fact, because Tom Brady had a revelation that he made yesterday. We're going to get into all of that. Want to hear from you, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Let us know what you think. Just getting going. This is going to be, I'm just putting a disclaimer. This is going to be a weird show. It's going to be weird today. It's got a lot of different things going on. At one point, I'm going to do a weather report as a meteorologist. That's going to happen later on today. We have my most intriguing number 19. I think we're at 18, Samter. 18 today. We are going to reveal our list of lists. We've got so much to do, but just a little warning, it's going to get weird. 855-212-4CBS. It is Maggie and Perloff, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM, Channel 158.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
We're back on Maggie and Perloff. So my old friends at Dan Patrick Show had a big guest yesterday.
I heard.
Nick Wright. No, I'm just kidding. Nick was trying to make that case on Twitter. Tom Brady, the GOAT.
Yes.
So Tom,
he was
Dan,
making the rounds yesterday.
Yeah, he did a few things.
Yeah, he's doing something with Hertz, I guess.
Dan had a good
free plug.
Dan interviewed Tom Brady before the Rams Super Bowl as part of NBC and did like a half hour interview where Tom was incredible. You probably don't remember this, but Tom was incredibly forthcoming. It was like 2018. He basically said, "I'm probably going to retire after this game," and that was 5 years ago.
Just he's had a Hall of Fame career since then.
That. So he gets along well with Dan, yeah. And I thought there were some really interesting nuggets in here.
Yeah, I did too. A little Tom Brady bucket of sound here. The first was, and this one got some attention, was about his competitive spirit, and Brady was pretty revealing there.
Time went by, and then you just get super competitive. I think I'm part crazy. I mean, I think that's the reality. I'm 45 years old, and I'm out here with a lot of young guys that are trying to take my head off. And I see Aaron Donald work out on my Instagram. I'm like, damn, maybe I should have retired, you know, because he's a beast. But, you know, I had the appetite to compete, and it's going to be gone soon. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And I got to, you know, just really appreciate what the time I have left, because it's not a lot.
So that was Brady. Obviously, you heard Dan Patrick there. It's from the DP show. So this is where I'm going to call BS on Brady. I don't think that the appetite for competition goes away. I thought it's your ability to perform on the field that goes away.
Well, maybe it's like the ability, like, to have that competitive spirit gets you up for all the practicing and up all the working out.
Oh, the off-season stuff.
Yeah, yeah, like you need that fire to be there 24/7, especially for a sport like football. And again, I just remind you that Tom Brady, 90% of what I say is a lie.
So in all of his interviews, he wouldn't lie to Dan. But you can't lie to Dan Patrick. That's
also that line,
sin.
He goes, I have to appreciate the time I have left. I'm like, oh no, what's wrong with Tom? That's what somebody says when they have a terminal illness.
Oh,
not when they're, yeah, that's not what you say about your football career. I thought the verbiage was a little funny there.
Well, but think about it. Brady has said this before about how afraid he is of retirement. He might be looking at this like a life and death kind of thing. Like, it is a little bit of a death. Like, your career, you know, they always say this about athletes. You die twice. Like, you get your funeral when you retire and then your actual funeral. But, like, you... It is like he'll probably grieve his career. I can see Brady doing that.
On his first, second, third, or fourth retirement.
When does the grief set in?
I'm warning you. This is going to be like, I don't know if you ever had a breakup like that where you broke up once. It took like three breakups to get.
Yeah, well, Seinfeld used to have a thing about breaking up with someone is like knocking over a soda machine.
Yeah. So I just think Tom Brady's going to have trouble deciding what he wants to do after this year. I think you've been stating on the record you think it'll probably be a retirement after this year.
So I thought definitely going to Miami after this year at first. And then with the Fox and the broadcasting and the amount of money and just how much he seems to be preparing for his life after football, I've reconsidered my stance that I think he's going to retire at the end of the year. Yeah. I just think it's very important to him that he doesn't have a farewell tour. You know, like we saw, like Sue Bird today announced that this is going to be her final year. She's going to get this massive farewell tour. Remember, Jeter's was never ended, the farewell tour. Yeah. I don't think that Tom Brady wants that.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I do think that he'll face a moment of indecision. I don't think he knows what he wants to do. That's based on very obvious evidence of that he retired and came back 40 days later. And I do think, yeah, the Dolphins make sense. But there could be a team out there where he's like, if he loses the wrong way this year, that itch could still be there.
I don't think that's why I'm calling BS on this. Yeah. I don't think the competitive part goes away. I think the sport tells you when you're done.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, like, what could that team be? What if there was a team that was on the brink and Tom's like, oh, darn, I could go there and win a Super Bowl? You think he's not going to be at least tempted by that?
I do think he will be tempted, yes. Yeah. I mean, I couldn't. If I said he wouldn't be, that would be being willfully ignorant.
Also, I put myself in his shoes. I think it's, like you said, really hard to retire.
Yeah, I mean, that's why you and I get to sit in our seats forever.
Yeah. I mean, actually, to be totally honest, I don't think anyone in our business really retires.
No, they don't. Our business is one of those where you don't retire.
Okay. Who wouldn't want to sit and talk sports, right?
I know. We get to play in the sandbox. Okay, more from Brady. And this was also from DP show. And this is where he's talking about why he thinks he's actually going to be good at broadcasting. He said maybe not the first game. He's going to have some growing pains, but sort of lays out why he'll be a good broadcaster.
Look, I've been in every production meeting for 22 years. I know what those guys are asking. I know what they're asked to do. And I think it feels very much like a team that goes on the road to prepare for a game. So there's a lot of learning curve. I mean, obviously, the day that I walk on the set for the first time won't be my finest moment. There'll be, you know, a lot of growing pains, and I'll have to learn to be really good at it. But I also think there's part of it that excites me is, you know, I've been around great mentors in my football career. You know, I had the best players. You know, I've been covered by John Madden. You know, I've been at Super Bowl media days. I've had so much experience.
That was Brady on DP show. That reminds me. He laid out a compelling case.
I don't find that compelling.
Why?
Every player that's ever played for long enough has that same case. But also, it's like, it's one thing to watch it and be the subject of these interviews. It's another to do it. If you don't mind me bringing up my friend Bruce. Remember Bruce?
How could I forget Bruce? Nobody will ever forget Bruce.
Bruce is the person who lost his eye during lovemaking.
Yes.
So hopefully he's not.
Hi, Chris Lopresti has just walked in. You're right. Yes, Chris is doing our updates today. Perloff's friend Bruce lost his glass eye while making love.
Then
sounds Bruce, like a good time.
Bruce does it also, for who? Bruce or the lady?
I would think the lady, but I wasn't there, so I don't know.
It'd be hilarious. Like, oh, Bruce, I was there.
To bring it back to Brady.
Yeah.
Bruce once hadn't played basketball in like 5 years. He said, I watch
can't
a lot.
Can't believe you're bringing up Bruce in this instance.
He said, I watch a lot of basketball on TV, so I expect to go out there and kick butt. He got out there and he threw the first shot over the backboard. So just because Brady has been covered by John Madden and he's been watching these guys, to actually sit in the broadcast booth doesn't mean you've been doing it.
Okay.
You only get better by actual reps at broadcasting, not by being part of it as a player.
Sure, I totally get that. And if it was just watching it made you great at it, we'd all be Tom Brady.
Yeah, I know.
How many hours have we logged watching this guy? But to some degree, I get what he's talking about. Yes, the X's and O's of him like being on the microphone and when he's going to talk and when he's not. But he has such an advantage because, again, he has been in those production meetings. He understands sort of what they're looking for, what the networks are looking for. And he's got all this wealth of knowledge.
So is every player.
But he's also
Drew Brees.
Yeah, I know. Well, Drew, okay. But
what's the difference? John Madden covered Drew Brees just like he covered Tom Brady.
Yeah, but don't you think that Drew Brees, like Brady is a bit more interesting than Brees?
I don't think there's a person alive who predicted Drew Brees would not work out. He was the most personable interview. Like he was an interview king. He was definitely more interesting than Brady.
I thought the best and the most interesting things about Brees was only when he was going at Goodell over Bounty Gate. Oh. All the other stuff to me was super milquetoast.
Oh, man. When he was like having his kids fight at the Pro Bowl, like Brees is lovable. Like Brees is very popular.
He still can be lovable. He just wasn't a good broadcaster.
Honestly, did you hear Tom Brady's answer right there when he was explaining that? Like that was the most boring 30 seconds of my entire day. Like that was not interesting. Just because like none of that.
Disagree.
Play that clip again and tell me that you couldn't fall asleep to this kind of answer, if you can.
Look, I've been in every production meeting for 22 years. I know what those guys are asking. I know what they're asked to do. And I think it feels very much like a team that goes on the road to prepare for a game. So there's a lot of learning curve. I mean, obviously, the day that I walk on the set for the first time won't be my finest moment. There'll be, you know, a lot of growing pains.
Vulnerability.
And I'll have to learn to be really good at it. But I also think there's part of it that excites me is, you know, I've been around great mentors in my football career.
Oh, my God.
I had the best players.
This might as well be Russell Wilson.
I've been covered by John Madden. You know, I've been at Super Bowl media days. I've had so much experience.
Yeah, that was quarterback
Riveting.
Talk. That was quarterback talk. He's got to kill that if he's going to be interesting.
Does he? I don't know. Bought it. Maybe Brady will be good at
this. Make Drew Brees look like Pat Summerall if he talks like that. He's got to totally like unbutton a little bit.
Well, you'd hope so. Criticizing players is going to be
I got to be honest.
Best is it when he if he gets a Patriots game and then he criticizes Belichick. Yeah. Then we're all going to lose it.
Yeah, no, it's going to be tough for him to do that. He is going to definitely have to loosen up a lot. But Romo didn't say much as a player, and then he totally let loose in the booth.
No, but sometimes, like when Troy Aikman used to be critical of the Cowboys, it used to get a lot more attention. Samter, yes.
Saying I'm going to be interesting and being interesting are different things.
Yeah.
I believe I've heard Brady unfiltered before, and I think that Brady can be funny and can be interesting. His social media
Brady
is fantastic.
Unfiltered when you had a cocktail party with him?
I'll just say that I've been in certain situations where Brady was taping things and things that he said off air versus what he said on air were completely different.
Okay. So you've seen the before the red light goes on Tom Brady.
Correct.
Okay.
I know that he can be funny. I know he can be interesting. I love his social media, but I worry that's too much of his of a team controlling all that. But it's a matter of whether or not he's comfortable letting it out. Like Romo, like we said, we didn't know how funny Romo was and he just blew up and he's hilarious. I think Brady has that, but just saying that you're going to be interesting and saying that I've been there and I know what people want to hear and what, that doesn't excite me. Like, it would have excited me had he said something really interesting while he was giving that answer, as opposed to saying, I'm going to be interesting because I know what people want to hear.
You know, Joe Montana was one of the funniest Saturday Night Live guests in the history of Saturday Night Live.
Impossible.
Watch some of the episodes. It was a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
He is hysterical. He's one of the funniest skits of all time that I can't repeat here. He is dry. He's funny. He's making fun of himself.
He's one of the best comedy writers in the world writing.
Yeah. But then he came into the booth and was terrible 2 years later. Honestly, Brady can be funny. He's got to do something different in the booth. That answer, what you heard, he starts talking. Russell Wilson does this too.
Yeah. They fall into it.
The second they talking a little faster, that means that they're doing coach speak or quarterback speak. And he was doing it there, but he's smart. He'll figure it out. But you're not worried he's going to be a little boring?
Not really.
Yeah.
No, I'm not worried about Brady at all with anything. He's got $375 million coming towards him.
Yeah.
He's going to be okay.
But I'll tell you, a lot of these guys are complete failure. The better the player, the more likely they are they're not going to be great.
You know what's so funny with that? Sometimes with coaches, too.
Oh.
It's the better the player, the worse coach they are, but for totally different reasons.
Yeah, it's so true. It's you cannot tell other people, they're going to have the same problem. Tom's going to be watching a quarterback. He's why didn't you see that guy coming?
That'd be great, though, if he's what are you thinking? You know? Or it doesn't have to say it that mean, but if he calls out other players, he's at the perch, he's at the top. He can criticize anybody he wants.
But part of it will be sound silly. It's that guy's not Tom Brady. Tom, that guy's not you. You won 7 Super Bowls or whatever.
Amazing. Coming up next, what made Perloff cry? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You're welcome to call the show. You can also find us on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl, P-E-R-L, on Facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff. Instagram, Maggie and Perloff, and our brand new YouTube channel. Amazing. You can go there and you can find all the clips from the show. It's wild. Chris Lopresti in for Rich Ackerman today. Good to see you, Chris.
Good to be here, as always.
And kick it off with a sports update for us.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Maggie and Perloff hanging with you. It's Thursday. Game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight. Warriors on the brink of securing another title, although you and I both believe this is going to go back to San Francisco and be a full 7-game series. Okay.
Well,
No?
I do. I have to tell you, I picked the Celtics in six. I'm a little nervous about this. It feels like the Warriors, I don't know, I'm a little nervous for the Celtics. I feel like the Warriors are going to seize this moment. Don't you think, like, they have
I picked the Warriors in six, so I'm kind of hoping that they do.
Yeah,
I'd love to be right about this.
Don't you feel like they might come in a little loose tonight and shoot well?
Yes, I think that there could be a game six Clay. I think there could be a Celtics turn the ball over and continue to and cannot clean that up. And that's the one thing they're going to go into the offseason thinking, if we could just dribble, we could have won a title.
Yeah, and can they put together four quarters of good shooting? They haven't really been doing that consistently.
No.
Could Jason Tatum do that?
I don't know. This
I don't
has
know.
Been a very tough series to get a handle on, but that's also what's made it so intriguing and so interesting. Play a little game called Is It Enough? So a couple different things going on in sports. We want to know, is it enough? And let's start here. Mavericks make a trade. Christian Wood from Detroit now coming to help Luka. There's a lot more involved in it, but that's basically the headline. Perloff, is it enough to help Luka Doncic with just Christian Wood and re-signing their own guys, maybe a Jalen Brunson? But if this is the big move for the Mavericks in the offseason, is it enough?
So it's a definitely an important step because they were so bad in the middle.
Yep.
But no, it's definitely not enough. Like, you have to shoot for a title. You have to be all in already. I know Luka's super young. The Mavs have to be all in. Christian Wood is not all in.
No.
So no, it's definitely not enough. It's something they need.
Here's a question though about Luka.
Yeah.
Because I love him. You not so much.
I do respect him, obviously.
Well, of course you do. Of course you respect him. But, you know, you're not like enthralled with him like I kind of am.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do you think that players want to play alongside him? Like, do you think that other superstars in the league look at Luka and say, that's who I want to team up with?
I mean, I would think probably not based on the fact that he takes up about 65% of the shot clock every possession.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, is it going to be, you know, you can trade for guys and that's fine because they're not going to have a choice. They're going to have to report or not. But in terms of, like, this is a league where the players almost have to make their own connections. You know, in a lot of ways, the players kind of work as de facto GMs. Some people like that. Some people don't like it. But, you know, is Luka going to be able to recruit in the way that other superstars have been able to?
I don't know. Maybe he's friends with Joker. They're both European.
Do you think all European players hang out together?
Yeah, kind
of. That is something you would say.
Yeah, I don't know. No, I'm just trying to think, like, who would he be friends with? But, you know, that friendship model hasn't really worked a lot lately. Like, Paul George got Kawhi to L.A., or just Kawhi wanted to be in L.A. It didn't work.
Right.
The Brooklyn was a disaster.
Yep.
Philly has been a disaster with James Harden.
Well, that's Harden and the GM are best friends, not Harden. Superstar.
So, and I don't know, like, yes, we know that Kevin Durant going to Golden State and the Miami Big Three, but I don't, like, who's the star that's going to go there? I don't even know who would either go or not go. I can't see, like, is KD going to want to, like, end his career in Dallas with Luka? Sound like it.
I think KD might be ending his career in Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, who's a superstar that can go down there? I don't even know who that player is.
Well, and Donovan Mitchell doesn't seem like, would that be just too redundant? And
the title, is it enough? No, I don't think Donovan Mitchell is. Embiid would be enough, but I don't know.
Also, what's Dallas going to trade back to Philadelphia that's going to let them feel good about trading Embiid?
You know what we can guarantee was not enough?
What's that?
Porzingis.
No, we know that. But, you know, Porzingis has not been enough now in two spots. Yes, Amber.
I will say this. LeBron was asked who his favorite player is in the NBA, and he said unequivocally Luka. So
I thought he said Steph Curry.
Yeah, he said, wants to play with.
He's been blowing up, like, several players.
Yeah, so he said that Steph is the guy he wants to play with the most, but he said his favorite player to watch is Luka. And if LeBron is thinking that, I would imagine that means that he would like to play with Luka also, and I would imagine that a lot of other guys feel the same way.
Mm. See, no, I would.
See, I think that's connecting a dot that might not be there. He likes to watch Luka, but he wants to play with Steph because Steph passes the ball.
Yeah. I think Luka could pass the ball too. I think LeBron, actually, that's not the worst idea I've ever
heard. Think that LeBron is trying to, do you think there's anything there? Is there anything there?
I mean, at the end of the day, listen, if the Mavericks draft Bronny, I think that would be, LeBron and Luka would be a perfect combination.
Okay, you want to know when we're going to really get to do a little where there's smoke, where there's fire? Is if LeBron ends up on Shark Tank. If he is a judge or one of the sharks on Shark Tank, then you can book it. He's going to go to Dallas. But until that time, I don't think.
Yeah, I was actually.
I think A-Rod's the only athlete they've had as a shark, right?
I mean, LeBron is creeping up on Cuban. LeBron's got what?
He's like a billionaire.
Billionaire. Cuban's at around $4.5 billion or so. So he's creeping up there.
$1 billion, $4.5 billion. What's
the difference? Once you make your first billion, the next ones it just kind of comes hand over foot.
I've heard that.
Are they friends? Does anyone know? I think that's a big part of this mystery. Are Cuban and LeBron boys? I've never seen them hanging out, but I don't know. I feel like they should be. Like they're both kind of entrepreneurial.
I guess LeBron's got his own people. He doesn't need Cuban.
Yeah, but LeBron has a lot of friends across the league. I feel like, don't you feel like they would probably be friends? They seem to see things similar ways.
I don't know, though. Was there any bad blood when LeBron was in Miami and they faced the Dallas Mavericks? Do you remember it was like Miami? They were kind of making fun of Dirk Nowitzki at one point for being sick. And remember, like, LeBron and Dwayne Wade were like, like doing like the Zoolander cough about Nowitzki. And then Nowitzki said like that actually motivated him. He thought it was pretty classless. Maybe there's bad blood.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that story?
Mark Cuban did also say that he would not just burn a second-round pick just to burn it to bring Bronny in. So I think a lot of teams would say, like, whatever, if I have a second-round pick, I'm just going to draft Bronny and just hope that Bron comes to us. Cuban's saying he wouldn't do that. So maybe there's some, like...
Nah, I don't think that's good. Also, Bronny's not last until the second round. Come on. Dude, if you're like the Sacramento Kings and you can't draft to save your life, or you can draft and then you get rid of those guys, what's it to you? Like, I draft them number one overall.
Yeah, but the Sacramento Kings are going to have like a top 10 pick, so they're not drafting Bronny in the top 10,
are you? In perpetuity.
Yeah, so you're drafting Bronny. Now, if you're like 28th, maybe, but like if you're 28th, you're the Milwaukee Bucks. Are you drafting Bronny just to get LeBron there? I guess maybe.
That's funny. They draft the Bucks like, you said you want to play with Bronny. Now you got to come and play with us for league minimum. Coming up. Okay, next. Is it enough? This one is about AD. So Anthony Davis says that he has not shot a basketball since April, Perloff. And so taking this kind of break, to me, I didn't have a problem with it. I know some people got uncomfortable thinking that he's not like, you know, he's not giving it all for the offseason. But here's the is it enough. Is it enough for Anthony Davis if he's healthy, immediately the Lakers become a title contender again?
Yeah. Contender, like top five Vegas odds, yes.
No, like in real life.
Yeah, yes. Like I feel like everybody in the West is going to have a puncher's chance next year, and the Lakers are one of those teams. I think so.
So just having Anthony Davis being healthy flips the fortunes of the Lakers. I'm not so sure. The Lakers have, what, 7 open roster spots that they have to fill somehow. Who knows how they're going to do that, considering how much Davis, Russell Westbrook, and LeBron are taking up of their salary cap. I don't know. Here's the thing. I do think that Russell Westbrook will be off the team by the trade deadline. So in that sense, maybe they find something else or get another piece or something like that to help him.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really seen a healthy Anthony Davis since the bubble, and honestly, the team around him wasn't that great. It wasn't like he had the 86 Lakers around him. I'm just trying to think of a team like, I mean, what's the difference? You got LeBron, you got Anthony Davis, and in the West, which should be kind of open next year, you don't think that they, I mean, you're not going to totally count them out, obviously.
No, I wouldn't. A fully healthy Anthony Davis, I think you'd have to say. I don't know if it's enough, but it definitely gets you closer.
And it's hard to wrap your head around a fully healthy Anthony Davis playing both sides of the court. We haven't seen that in forever.
So long. Our next, is it enough? And this is a little bit of a twist. Is it enough to make Perloff cry?
Okay.
What brought you to tears yesterday?
Well, I have to admit, this story has been around, I guess, for a while, but I had not read it until today. Because it's coming up, Tatum's on the brink of losing. I guess before Game 7 against the Heat, he texted, I can't even talk about it, I'm going to lose it. No, I'm fine, we're good. He texted Kobe Bryant, his number and his phone, and said, I got you today.
And then he wore the armband.
Yes.
Kobe's...
But this idea of texting someone who's not there, and he's not, that's just...
Oof, that made you cry, huh?
No, I don't know. I just felt like that was really, I was like, that's very powerful.
It is very powerful. Yeah. I was wondering if you were going to see the Kobe armband tonight.
Yeah.
Is that only reserved for Game 7?
Well, I wonder if this story came out today because Tatum was talking about it again or something. Like, maybe. He's got that
energy.
He
just asked about it.
You know, they've had this sort of, Boston's been good in this must-win situation. So, yeah, maybe he's channeling his Kobe. And we all know, like, say what you want. Jason Tatum and Devin Booker are the Kobe acolytes.
Yes.
Those are the two guys.
They are carrying.
Everybody credits Kobe to some degree in the league, but those two guys were the closest to Kobe, I think. At least they claim they were.
I think Kyrie claims to be very close to Kobe, too.
But I think these guys were more mentored because they're younger. Like, Kyrie was closer. They probably competed for longer, I'd imagine.
Yeah, a little bit, but no. I mean, I think I think Kobe was probably already at least 12 or 13 years in the league before Kyrie got there.
Does Kyrie credit his game to Kobe, though?
I know that he has said he was very close with Kobe.
Right, but does he say he was mentored by him? See, that doesn't sound totally the same.
I don't know. I'm not sure what the difference is, but also, I am curious to see if Tatum wears the Kobe armband.
Tatum does some of the similar moves to Kobe, too. He likes that fadeaway to the right jumper. He kind of looks like Kobe when he shoots. Long. I'm definitely rooting for Tatum, but like Tatum was not good last game.
No, definitely not.
He's got to text Kobe again before this game. He's got to do something.
The last on this Is It Enough had to do with the 76ers draft. I just don't think we can indulge Perloff this much about the 76ers, who pick what, 23rd? This can't take over the show.
There's 30 seconds left of the segment.
I know. I did that on purpose. Because I could have done it with 10 minutes left in the segment, and I decided not to.
The question is, if you trade 23 and Tobias, can you get any player back?
This is only interesting to people in Philadelphia. I don't think anyone else cares. I'm sorry.
Fine, yeah.
The biggest thing is Harden. The rumor, Harden might be on a short-term deal. Only 3 years. That would be something. Maggie and Perloff. Coming up next, the biggest sea change in the NFL, we'll tell you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.